Well, lesson for the morning is the ceremonies of cleansing, and the text is in the book of Numbers, chapter 5, verses 11 through 22, and the Bible reads as follows. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully toward him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of the husband, and it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priests. He shall bring the offering required for her, one-tenth of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil on it, and bring no frankincense, and put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy, an offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle, and put it in the water. Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembering in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse. And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and you have not gone astray to uncleanness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority and have defiled yourself, and some man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse, and he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people, when the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell, and may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot. Then the woman shall say, amen, so be it." And that is our scripture lesson for the morning. Exodus chapter 5, verse 11 through Numbers chapter 5, verse 11 through 22. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson and our walk through the Bible, let us reiterate our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, Numbers chapter 5 records for us a threefold cleansing of the nation as the children of Israel prepared to travel to and to enter into the promised land. First of all, those who are physically unclean are put out of the camp. Numbers chapter 5 verses 1 through 4 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell." And the children of Israel did so, and put them outside of the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did. Now, following the physical cleansing, God commanded that the Israelites reconcile their interpersonal relationships with one another. Numbers chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 tell us, "Speak to the children of Israel. when a man or woman commits any sin that men commit in unfaithfulness to the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged. So those who sin against their brother or sister in such a way that their sin can be quantified financially have the responsibility to make full restitution to the one against whom they sin with a 20% penalty. Restitution for sin restored the Israelites to oneness with one another and righteousness with God. Now, finally, after dealing with physical uncleanness and unrighteousness in interpersonal relationships, God commands Israel to deal with unrighteousness in their marital relationships, to deal with unproven suspicions of one another. We read the first part of the infidelity test in our text for today, and to complete the infidelity text, Numbers chapter 5, verse 19 through 28 tells us, "And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and you have not gone astray to uncleanness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself and some man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse, and he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people, when the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell, and may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot. Then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall scrape them off into the bitter water, and he shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings a curse, and the water that brings the curse shall enter her to become bitter. Then the priest shall take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman's hand, shall wave the offering before the Lord, and bring it to the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering as its memorial portion, burn it on the altar, and afterward make the woman drink the water. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward her husband, that the water that brings a curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell, her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children." Now, the Levitical law orders the death penalty for adultery when the adulterous spouse has been caught in the act. Deuteronomy 22 and 22 records, "If a man is found lying with a woman married to an husband, then both of them shall die, the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall put away the evil from Israel." But in the case described in Numbers 5, the husband has no actual evidence of adultery, but is simply jealous. From the text, it appears that God's jurisprudence is such that an adulterous woman cannot be punished for unfaithfulness without actual proof of her adultery. But her husband has to rely upon God himself to intervene should he suspect his wife of unfaithfulness but has no proof. The Bible does not record any analogous tests for husbands that are suspected of adultery by their wives. And the reason may have to do with the fact that from a biblical perspective, jealousy is the purview of the husband, who has authority over the wife, and the wife has no such reciprocal authority over the husband. Nevertheless, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 through 35 says, "Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts." Now, the removal of those who are ceremonially unclean, the ceremony for restitution for sinful transactions between Israelites, and the ceremony that a jealous husband uses to invoke the intercession of God are all to prepare Israel to develop a holy mindset as the Israelites travel from the wilderness to the promised land to set up God's kingdom. Now, for those Israelites that are going to require an extraordinary relationship with God to complete their mission for him, number 6 records the institution of the Nazarite vow, in which an Israelite could consecrate himself, setting himself apart to God to perform a special service. The men of the tribe of Levi were chosen by the Lord to be set apart to minister in the tabernacle in place of the firstborn of Israel, but Israelites and other tribes could take the Nazarite vow and volunteer or be volunteered for special service to God. Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 tells us, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When either a man or a woman consecrate an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice nor eat fresh grapes or raisins. All the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, from seed to skin. All the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head, until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. Then he shall let the locks of his hair of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother, for his brother or his sister, when they die, because of his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord." Now, the Bible records the lives of 3 famous Nazarites who were dedicated to God while they were children under the jurisdiction of their mothers. The first famous Nazarite was Samson, whom God set apart for the service of delivering Israel from the Philistines. Judges chapter 13, verse 1 through 5 records, "Again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, Indeed now, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or any similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Now, the second famous Nazarite was Samuel, the last judge over Israel. Samuel judged Israel throughout his adult life and then anointed Saul as the first king of Israel upon request of the people in the direction of God. His conception and his mother's vow that made Samuel a Nazarite is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 and 19 and 20, which says, "So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now, the last Nazarite recorded in the scripture was John the Baptist, the prophecy of whose birth ministry is recorded in Luke chapter 1, verse 11 through 17, which says, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So now it's a serious commitment to be set apart for service to God, but in the New Testament dispensation, the Nazarite vow is no longer necessary, as we who are Christians are all set apart for the service of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 10 tells the church, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Now, let us consider the beginning of the migration of the Israelites from their camp in the wilderness to the promised land. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 through 18 records, "Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night." Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Unfortunately, once the journey started, the children of Israel started complaining as well. God provided the Israelites with a pilot, a plan, and provisions, but they complained and were ungrateful because the road to the kingdom led through the wilderness. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, 10 and 11, 13 and 14, and 16 through 18 records, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.' Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, 'Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep over me, saying, "Give us meat that we may eat." I'm not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, "Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. So now the Israelites complained against the goodness of God, although God had freed them from the abuse of the Egyptians. God had given them sustenance in plenteous quantities, for which they did not have to slave under cruel taskmasters, and God was leading them through the wilderness to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. Now, if we examine ourselves, we may find that our experience in some way parallels their experience. Let us learn from their ungrateful example and not fall into the same satanic trap of dissatisfaction with the grace of God. Let us appreciate God for that with which he has blessed us. If you could see when you woke up this morning, you should thank God, because there are some who are better by nature than we are by practice, that went to bed last night but were not blessed to wake up this morning with the ability to see the sun peek his head over the eastern horizon, roam majestically through the daytime sky to the enchantment of an evening sunset. If you woke up this morning in a bed, you should thank God for the bed, because there are many in the world that slept on a mat last night. If your bed had sheets and a blanket or bedspread, you should thank God, because there are many who slept on a pallet on a cold, hard floor. If you woke up, were able to rise from your bed, and had breakfast to eat, you should thank God, because there are some who woke this morning with no breakfast and who have not eaten for several days. God forbid that you complain if you rode in an automobile to church, because there are many who are walking to wherever they have to go this morning and have not been blessed with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the clarity of understanding that brings us to church. Many of us do not think to exhibit our gratitude to God for these simple things, because we think that we earned them when we went to work and made money so that we could buy them. But recognize Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 and 19, which says, And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. We need to understand that God gives us the ability to get up from the bed and clothes us in our right mind so that we can perform the functions that allow us to get paid. God kept the company that employs you solvent so that your paycheck did not bounce. Some companies have gone bankrupt, leaving their employees uncompensated. It didn't happen to you, at least not this week, and you can thank God for that. Our complaining is of no value to God. If you feel that you have a deficiency in your life, prayer and the study of the Word of God is in order to receive God's wisdom that will show you how to relieve your deficiency, but we never actually have any reason to complain. Romans chapter 9, verse 14 through 23 describes, What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, He has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, Why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, Why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump, to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory? Now God sits on the circle of the universe with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. We are the vessels that he created to do his bidding. While it is a fact that we are able to use our senses to perceive reality and have emotional reaction to that which God does, our responsibility as God's intelligent creation is to understand God's word as fully as we are capable and cooperate with his plan to the best of our ability. We may forget our place in God's kingdom and develop the arrogance that makes us think that we are to set our own agenda, but hopefully our study of the ungratefulness of the Israelites will rearrange our priorities and make us recognize that we are not here for self-aggrandizement, but are on a mission to build up the kingdom of God. Let us always be grateful for the sustenance that he provides for us as we work for him. The Apostle Paul gives us the example of gratefulness for the provision of God, even in times that are not so prosperous, as he testifies to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the contents of Philippians 4:13 is not, as some preach out of context, that Christians are supermen that can leap tall buildings at a single bound, but that we as Christians have the ability to cope gracefully and maintain our faithful and grateful witness for the Lord, regardless of the situation in which the Lord sees fit to put us. Let us utilize our ability to endure all things and maximize our stewardship for God while refraining from complaining, that God might be pleased with our efforts. In whatever state we find ourselves, let us emulate the example of the Apostle Paul and react with an attitude of gratitude, being grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the agony of the cross of Calvary to save us from the penalties of sin, death, hell, and the grave, taking the penalty of our sins upon himself, that we might be saved, as were the Israelites, from the slavery of sin and brought into the marvelous promised land of his salvation. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this lesson, and we thank you for those who are here to hear it. And we ask you, Lord, that you would let the lesson make a difference. And as we put this lesson out on the internet and record this lesson at the television studio, we ask that someone who sees it or who hears it might be affected by it. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us hearts of gratitude in whatever situation we find ourselves. We ask you to go with us and bless us even as you did the Israelites, and help us to be grateful for that which you have done for us, that we will be able, Lord, to give your name the praise throughout ceaseless ages. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. And we thank you most of all, Lord, for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Moses Tyson Jr. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have brought us out once again to this place that you have given us, that we might be able to rightly divide the word of truth. We thank you for the information that you have provided for us, the history and the admonitions that you have given us, that we might not only know what those who have come before us have done, but that we might be able to learn from the mistakes that they've made and glean wisdom from the successes that they have had. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help us, make us grateful for that which you have given us, and help us, Lord, that we might have the mindset that would be pleasing in your sight. And now, Lord, we pray for those who are on the list, for Rick, and we ask you that you'd bless him in the cold of Germany this morning, that you would allow him to be prepared, that he would get himself ready for his next movement into the heat of Iraq. And we ask you, Lord, that you keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Let the bullets and the bombs and the missiles and all of those things not come near him, but allow him to have an uneventful tour as he goes into that country. Lord, we're praying for Carlos and for Courtney. We ask you to bless them, for Brian and for Nikki. And we thank you, Lord, that Sean's mother has made a recovery. And we thank you for those who we're able to take off of our list because of the fact that they are doing so well. And we thank you for the blessing that you have given them. And we're praying for Sister Allen and her family, for her son, for her daughter-in-law, for all those who are involved in that situation. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would give them a cool head, that you would allow them to figure out some way that they can get along with one another. We pray also, Lord, for her mother. We ask you that you would continue to improve her health, for her father as well, and for those others that are on the list that she has sent, her sons and her daughter and her son-in-law, for Brian James and Willie Allen. We ask you that you bless him on his new job. Also for Julia Williams and for the store. We ask you that you would help the store to increase in revenue. Sister Allen reported last week that it's doing better. We ask you that you would continue to help it to do better and let people be attracted to those beautiful things that they have there. Ron Budden and Mrs. Elston and Gene Peters as well. We ask that you bless in all those cases. Now we pray for the McClures. We ask that you give them traveling mercies. I'm assuming this morning that they're in either in Missouri or on their way there or on their way back. And we ask you, Lord, that you'd bless them and bless Janelle as she goes down for the second half of the or the second part of the term. We ask you, Lord, that you would allow her to have all of the academic success that a person of her intelligence can have. We ask you, Lord, that you would just bless in her case and as she prepares for gainful employment this summer. We ask you that you would give her something to do that she could both enjoy and that would be gainful for her, that she might be able to prepare for her next year of college. Also pray for JJ, and we ask you, Lord, that you would give him motivation as he's at the end of the road in his high school experience. And we ask you also, Lord, that you would bless his shoulder as he is recovering from an injury in that. We ask you that you would just touch his shoulder, that he might be able to have full function and that he might be able to enjoy these last days of his high school career. We pray for those that the Lees have asked us to pray for, Malcolm Suber, Frida Durham, Dearest, and Julia Smith, and Geraldine Parks. We ask you to bless all in that case, and also bless, as we have already asked for Dearest, that you would help him with his collegiate situation as well. Pray for the Winstons, Lord, for Sister Alberta Winston, who's getting ready to go in for surgery. And we ask that you give the doctors uncommon skill, that you would give them the ability to completely repair her situation, that her shoulder might work well, and she might be relieved of the pain of that. We pray for her husband as well, and we ask you to bless him as he is recovering as well, and also for Sister Donna Powell and for Sister Lynn, who's, and we ask that you bless her, and she is dealing with a cancer issue this morning. We ask you to bless in that situation. Now, Lord, we continue to pray for the Rodriguez family. We ask that you bless Brother Tyson, as it appears he has to go back in for more minor surgery. And we ask you, Lord, that you would let the doctors work with him in such a way that he would recover completely and have full function of all of his body parts, that he might be able to continue in his contracting business and do the work that is keeping his family. We thank you that he has a new family, and we ask you that you continue to bless in his new marriage, and keep that he and his wife be joined together with cords of love that cannot be broken. We're praying for Paul in Grand Rapids, for all the things that he has going on, for all those various things that he has in the pipeline. We ask you, Lord, that you would shorten the pipeline and let some of those products come out, and that they would be successful, and that all that go to make up that which goes on the pipeline would be pleased with the success of it. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to give him the technical knowledge that he needs to provide solutions to his customers that would induce them to have him come back again and again. And we're praying, Lord, also for Mother Z as she's getting ready to go in the hospital and have her other arm operated on. We ask you that you would restore the activity of her limbs to her after her recuperative period. Pray for Mother Versa, for Sister Johnny Mae Wills as well. Praying for Brother Smith and Sister Carr, for Brother Roscoe George and Brother and Sister Conroy, whom we've not heard of from some time, and we ask you that you bless them in whatever state they are. For Sister Wills and Sister Hudson, Lord, we don't know, haven't heard from her in a while. And we ask you, Lord, that you would allow her to recover from her illness and see if she chooses to come back and be with us again. Praying for Brother McGill, we thank you for his recovery. Thank you for Aunt Naomi and for Dad and for Marvin. We ask you to bless our family as they are around the country, and they are doing great things in their last days. We ask you that you help Marvin with those children as the end of the school year begins to turn its corner. And we ask you that you help Dad and Aunt Naomi to have a great time in the sunset years that they have. Thank you for Brother Perkins, who was able to travel up here and be with us this week, and is probably back home by now, safely. We just ask you that you continue to bless his family as his wife is preparing to have a child coming up. We ask you to bless that which she is doing. Give her gestation mercies, that she might be able to go through that experience with the minimum of discomfort and pain and with the maximum of joy for the new child that's coming into the world. And we pray for those couples that he has asked us to pray for, that you would solidify their marriages and keep them bound with cords of love that cannot be broken. Praying for Jay and Tisa as well. Help them with their young family. For Brother David Sifford, we ask you that you would bless him as he's on his way to Iraq as well, and that you would let the gospel that he's going to minister over there not only touch the troops, but let some indigenous personnel that are there hear the word and be blessed by it. Praying for Brother and Sister Fuller, for Shenora's, and we ask you that you bless them as well. Also for Sister Janet Morgan, we ask your blessings on Sister Beard as she's traveling today. Bring her home safely and allow us to have a good meeting tomorrow. Help give us wisdom as we talk about the affairs of her life, that we might be able to give her something that will help her to resolve her situation, that and her son and her Brother Young as well. Praying for the Webb, we ask you to bless them, and we ask you that you would keep them. Their court date is coming up soon, Lord, and we ask you that you let calm minds prevail in all these cases, that you would navigate the circumstances and bring them to a good outcome, the best outcome that is available. Praying for Brother Blair and her son Kinkwell, for Charles Mathis, and we ask you that you bless Brother Webb's mother as she's going to consult a physician, and we ask you that you would allow that physician to have only good things to say. Praying for Sister Davis and Brother Lewis and Sister Jordan, who has pregnancy complications. She's over 35, and we ask you that you would be with her and stand by in all that she does. Continue to pray for Dr. Allen and his organization, for his wife who's helping him to run it, and we ask you that you would continue to let them have those great debates that might form opinions on the issue, and let their outreach ministry in that area be fruitful and profitable. Praying for Sister Diane Flanagan and her son's leg. Also asking you that you bless Deanna, which is a young lady that she asked us to pray for. For Brother Nate Connor, for Sister Cheryl Potts, Sister Diane Ezell, Sister Lilla Simpson. We thank you for Sister Viola Frazier, Brother and Sister Price, Brother Archie Peterson, and Brother Lewis Crawford. Now, Lord, we're praying for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for those who have been victimized by the hurricanes, and as they recover from their losses and they're getting back to normalcy in that area of the country. We ask you to bless them as well, for those who are serving our country both here and abroad, for the young men and women in this neighborhood and the salvation of our family and friends. Thank you for my family who's here with me today, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would continue to give us the word that we might be able to have something to say that might bless the hearers. And I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life. Help her as she goes to and fro doing those things over at the state that have brought profitable outcomes to them. Let her continue to have the skill that she needs to work with that situation. And we ask you also to give Paul traveling mercies as he goes up and down the dangerous highway as well. And now, Lord, we just thank you for the place that you've given us here, for the resources and for all of the information that you've given us that we might be able to share. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. The lesson of the day is one of gratitude. How the children of Israel were ungrateful for that which God has done for them, but how we should be grateful for that which God has done for us. And as we think of Jesus Christ today, let us be grateful for that great sacrifice that he made for us as he hung, bled, and died on the old rugged cross, was shoved into Joseph's borrowed tomb, and rose early on that first Easter Sunday morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Let us be grateful and thankful for that which Jesus has done for us. And let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. In the name of the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, amen.